Good afternoon. It's time for Listen for the Joy, encouraging God's children to reach God's chosen, with your host, Pastor Will E. Milbury, on Heaven 97 KHBN.
Jew and Gentile, born in Messiah.
Good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is time to listen for the joy. Listen for the joy. Matter of fact, it's a great time to listen for the joy. When you look outside of your window today or look out the car when you're driving, you automatically should have joy with a day this beautiful with the sun. Look what the Lord did. In the middle of the winter, you've got the sun. You've got beautiful weather. I got a short sleeve shirt on. Hi, this is Kevin the Fridge Wood, and I am hosting today the show from called Listen for the Joy, and it is sponsored by Good Shepherd Baptist Church, Good Shepherd Baptist Church in Grand Prairie. Today, I am honored to have here today Pastor Will. He is the pastor of Good Shepherd Baptist Church and our director of Christian education, the elder at the church, my brother Ed Fox. Exciting time. Guys, say hello to the audience, the listening audience out there.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good to be here. This is exciting. We know nothing about what we're doing, but we're going to have a good time because we got joy. We got the joy of salvation, and we're going to share it with anybody and everybody who's willing to listen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I got to tell you something, Pastor. I got to tell you this. You know, when we're praying before we get on the air, because, you know, we are definitely strong believers here, know the Lord, love the Lord, excited about the Lord. Matter of fact, one of the greatest things in our life is this is. I do want to tell you, when you look at Hebrews 12:1, it talks about being on fire for the Lord. I don't know if I found two other brothers that I've ever met in my life that is more on fire for the Lord and want to give you a piece of it than these two brothers right here. So this is exciting. But so though it is a, by the way, new show and it's going to be a regular show here on Heaven 97, it's just an exciting time. We're ready to share the joy. So, guys, tell me a little bit about the show. Why did you decide you wanted to do a show? And also, while you do that, tell me about Good Shepherd Baptist Church anyway. And then also, tell me where they're located. And by the way, love the church. Great people doing great things. Tell us a little bit about the show.
Eddie.
1880 Mayfield Road.
Is. Oh, I thought you were going to say you were born in 1880.
No.
Oh, okay.
Is this supposed to be about me? Or about the church?
The church.
Okay. No. Good Shepherd Baptist Church.
And how you
church.
Got here?
Well, both Pastor Will and I, we were at Mount Olive Baptist Church, another church in the area, and God laid on Pastor Will's heart that he wanted to start a church of his own. And during that time, he shared that with me. We spent a lot of time together, and he shared it with me. I remember he first said he wanted a church that looked like heaven was going to look like.
Ooh.
And he was adamant about that.
So we'll be able to fly and walk through walls at his church and things like that. That's a great thing. I like that.
But he wanted different races, different ethnicities. He wanted people who, a diverse collection of Christians. He didn't like the fact that on Sunday mornings we retreated to our corners, and then all during the week we did our thing at work. He wanted the church to reflect what heaven was going to look like. And in order to do that, he wanted to start his own church. He wanted his own church building. Initially, it was going to be in Ohio. Then he thought about Tyler, Texas. And both decisions, I thought, were the worst decisions he could possibly make. And thank God, God agreed with me and kept him here in Grand Prairie, Texas.
Amen. Well, my name is Pastor Will Milbury. I'm from Norton, Ohio, which is a small town outside of Akron, Ohio, which is a small town outside of Cleveland, Ohio.
So LeBron James, so like Akron, LeBron James homes.
No, actually, Akron existed before LeBron. Amen.
Oh, okay. It did?
Yes, it did.
I don't think he thinks that.
That's next show. Okay. But life has just been, God has been so good to me my entire life, y'all. Saved at age 13 at a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church.
Wow.
In Akron, Ohio, under William C. Upshaw, and was able to, even though I walked away from the Lord as an early age, he always calls you back.
Amen.
And had a few years, what we call my, at the church, we lovingly call it my misspent youth. And But at a certain point, God calls you back, and then he gives you some things to do. And so here we are today with my brother Fridge. I met Fridge through one of the programs at the church. We have a program called the Homiletics Conference, where four of the really good Bible teaching schools in this area, Southern Bible, on top. Can I say this on the Southern Bible on top?
Yes.
But I always say because we all graduated from Southern Bible.
Amen.
We're so thankful. We've gone on to different educational ventures, but Southern Bible gave us all a great foundation. Amen. Highly recommend it. So here we are, and 10 years into existence, the church has been going on for 10 years, and we just, the Lord has put something on our hearts to start this program for reaching the, it's an evangelistic outreach, but more than anything, it's a outreach to the Gentiles and the Jews. Amen.
Amen. Let me say this, and I don't mean to interject, but I do want to interject and tell you, not only does he preach on it, not only do they preach on it, not only do they teach it at their church, they do it in their lives. Matter of fact, if you talk to Pastor Will for more than about 3 to 5 minutes, you're going to not only hear about the Lord, he's going to ask you, do you know the Lord? And if you don't, he's going to lead you to Christ. And when you think about it from a kingdom perspective, God has always said that he wanted the church, not a church, but the church, amen, to be able to preach, but also to evangelize or extend or advance the kingdom. And I'll tell you, I'm here to endorse them, to tell them these guys are equipped to be able to do it. And we'll be talking about it during the show. But he mentioned to the Gentiles and the Jews. You know, funny thing about it is God called it for all of it. And you would think that the Jews, if anybody, should already know about God. Well, they know about God, but that Jesus Christ thing seemed to be a problem sometimes. Yeah. So we want to be able to understand that God came for everyone, not just Gentile, but Jews too. Speak on that for a second. Why, when you say specifically not only to the Gentiles, you also say and to the Jews. Matter of fact, one of the things you've taught me is to the Jews first. Speak on that, either Ed or Pastor. One of y'all, speak on why to the Jews.
Okay, before I move to that, I was reminded we're Good Shepherd Baptist Church, 1880 Mayfield Road, Grand Prairie, Texas. You can pick us up online at goodshepherdbaptistgp.com. goodshepherdbaptistgp.com. And if you would, you could go to our Facebook page, sign in, like, let us know that you're listening, what you think about the program, and we'd love to have you. So now, here we go with how do we get to this point about this ministry, which is emphasizing outreach to the Jewish community. Well, Romans 1:16 tells you.
What's it say?
It says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
And amen.
It's the power of God.
And he's not ashamed of the gospel, I guarantee you. I mean, go into church and find out.
And I start with that because he says it's the power of God unto salvation to all men, to the Jew first and then the Gentiles. And so there's a misconception in our day and age. It's kind of like a reverse misconception. When you go to the book of Acts, it's almost humorous because when you go to the book of Acts, the Jews are saying, I don't know if a Gentile can be saved. We have to hold a council to decide if the Gentiles can be saved.
Right.
Now fast forward to 2018, and we say, well, you know, the Jews got a special thing worked out with God. Yeah, you got to believe on the name of Jesus and be saved, just like everybody else. So at some point, this has to become a part of the thought process, the DNA of the entire evangelical church. And he says, witness to them because they have been set off to the side. God's not through with them. He tells you in the book of Romans, you start in chapter 10, you go through 10 and 11. Great, great, great detail of how, amen, God goes in, amen, to say, I'm not through with them, and I have a special calling for them. I want you to go find them. Let me see, where's my scripture here? Let me get my one scripture here.
While he's doing that, you see Paul's lament in chapter 9 of Romans, and he talks about the fact that he would give up his own salvation so that the Jews might be saved. This was just that important to him. So it was also painful for him to know that his people were so difficult to witness to, so difficult to evangelize, and it made 9, 10, and 11 the core of the book of Romans.
Amen. And so here we are with God telling us to, he says Romans 11, 11. I saved you. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? And listen to this, my brothers and sisters, listen to this. God said, yes, they stumbled. He said, but understand the very fact, because they were his chosen. They were not better than anybody else. And we get that messed up, mixed up. They're not better than other people, but they are God's object lesson, if you will. They are God's. So the God says, how would I as a Gentile know that God is going to keep his promises to me if he didn't first keep them to the Jewish community?
Amen.
So that's why being chosen has its good and its bad. But here he says, because I had to set them off to the side, that they stumbled for a little bit. He says, understand, because of that, the best thing that could ever happen to me as a Gentile came into my world. And that's what that's the message of this program, that first off, all of God's children, all people, all cultures are important to God, everybody.
Amen.
He says, but when we take the time to witness to his children, to reach out to them, and not like you're trying to get a notch on your belt or anything like that, but because you love your neighbor like yourself. He said, when you take the time to do that, he says, if them stumbling caused the best thing that happened to you ever, how much more than being brought back into the olive tree? So that's just a little taste of what we're dealing with, y'all. And it's, when God placed that in my heart, it was so exciting, because I'm sitting and I'm thinking to myself, well, Fred, you remember when you first asked me, you said, well, where's the Jewish community?
Let me expound on that for a second, because one of the things is, we know it's to the Jews and the Gentiles, and he actually says to the Jewish first, but you know, we don't think holistically, okay, where are the Jewish people in our community? Tell me what you said about that. That's a great answer that you gave me.
I said they're everywhere.
Because they are.
They are. You remember God? Amen. God said, he said, go ye therefore into all the world. He said, starting with Jerusalem, going to Samaria and under Judah, and then all the uttermost parts of the earth. You know why God told us to go to the uttermost parts of the earth? Because he already scattered his people to the uttermost parts of the earth. So wherever you go, there is an identifiable Jewish community somewhere. And they're waiters, they're waitresses, they're students, they're teachers, they're doctors,
everywhere.
They're lawyers, they're just
and everybody
and everywhere. So what? Here's look at, when they talk about how wonderful God's plan is. Instead of you trying to find out which one is Jew and which one is not Jew, why don't you just start telling everybody the good news?
Right. And that's one of the things we're going to do.
And you hit them.
Yeah. And that's one of the things we're going to do when we segue back. In a few seconds, we're going to take a break. We're going to segue back in about a minute or two, but we're going to segue back that the reality of it is what these guys are going to educate you with is phenomenal. At the same time, understand God calls us to advance his kingdom regardless who it is.
Amen.
However, there's special things tied in when you do it also to the Jews. And we're going to talk about kind of differentiate between the two. But at the end of the day, the question becomes, what if I asked you today, if I saw you on the street today and said, not necessarily, yeah, I want to ask you, do you know the Lord? But if I said to you, who have you brought to Christ or
Amen.
Even shared to Christ in the last year, in the last 2 years? And then the next question would be is, who can you talk to? In other words, what would you say if they say, I want to know about the Lord? We're going to talk about that in just a few seconds. Matter of fact, we're going to go to break. But guys, tell me again. I want to tell me where the church is, what the address is, and how they can get in contact with you.
It's 1880 Mayfield Road, Grand Prairie, Texas, 75052.
And the name of the church is?
And the name of the church is Good Shepherd Baptist Church. 972-262-1111.
And your website is?
GoodShepherdBaptistGP.com.
And
ShepherdBaptistGP.com.
com. And if they want to reach you by phone,
972-262-1111.
And one last thing I want to tell you is, if you guys have questions about what we're talking about today, you can call in. We will take a few calls. The request line is 972-996-3970. Number again is 972-996-3970. You too then can talk to the Good Shepherd Baptist Church and get on the air live at Heaven 97.
This is Listen for the Joy.
One doctor has got the country's ear.
We could talk to this doctor for hours
about the foods.
And I know y'all were breakdancing to that song, doing backflips. I know y'all were doing the Cabbage Patch. I know you were doing all those things. That might throw me back in the Cabbage Patch.
I think they might have been saying what my children said to me when I first started listening to this music. Dad, is this some new form of punishment?
It's really a great song. You know, the funny part is I'm in the beats. You know, when they have like rap now in the day and all that, I can't do the words because, you know, they're always talking about beating people up, stomping on them, tripping them, running them over with the car, shooting. I can't deal with the words. But the cool thing is with most rap songs, except for this, what they call, my son tells me it's called trap music. But the rap song, they use old school beats. And I love old school beats. You know, when you get the head all bobbing and everything else like that.
My son's a rap producer.
Oh, yes, for real?
Yeah, for real.
Oh, I got to tell you one more thing. I got to tell you one more thing. The greatest invention ever, the worst and greatest invention ever was satellite radio. Let me tell you why. Because satellite radio, no commercials, I like music, no commercials. You can pick whatever genre, gospel, you want R&B, jazz. But you know the worst part of it, too? Some of the songs I've been jamming to for the last 20 and 30 years, when you hear it uncut, they say bad stuff in some of these songs.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that. What song is that? That's the song I've been listening to for 20, 30 years. I didn't know. I thought, you know, they had Game back then. I knew, but I didn't know the Game was that bad.
Let me tell you what the Lord did in my life that brought me to this stage of life.
Come on.
I played in rock bands for 18 years of my life. That was my goal in life.
Rock. Well, excuse me, you know you're black, right?
Oh, yeah.
Just making sure the audience knows that you did say rock.
I did say straight up rock. And you know what? If Hendrix had lived, you'd know about him real good, too, because he was the best at what he did.
He was a bad boy, man.
He was the best at what he did. And so that's what my goal was. That's what I wanted to be. And through a series of things that God did, He let me know that's not where I have other plans for your life. And so one day I came home and I had this huge, beautiful, wonderful, beautiful. Did I say beautiful?
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
You said it twice.
Beautiful album collection. I mean, just boxes of albums. And understand, my life was timed by the songs. You know, you walk into, you get a certain smell. Oh, I remember that song. I was here at that point in time. And so I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to stop. I'm going to get out of this industry. I'm through with it. Even though I wasn't doing anything what I thought particularly vile. So at that time, you have to guess, a while ago. At that time, the rap music was just really getting started. And so some of the youngsters in my neighborhood, they wanted to buy my album so they could sample them. Ooh, you got this. You got Steely Dan. You got all these people. You got Hall & Oates. Oh, you got all. Ooh. And so I'm thinking, cha-ching, okay? And then my dear, sweet, wonderful wife pulled me off to the side. She says, Will, she says, if it's not good for you to have it, how can you justify selling it to someone else to promote it? That's exactly what. And I said, because I like money. And she said, Will, you can't do that. Like I said, now remember, I understand, the Lord just got me. He just got me back. I had been in the witness protection program for a while.
So
he just got me back. And I'm thinking, here's dollars and cents. And so I had my son and a couple of boys in the neighborhood take a sledgehammer, destroy my whole album collection.
For real?
Oh, yeah.
Like actually physically did that?
They took it out in the parking lot with sledgehammers. And they bashed them. Now, everybody doesn't have to do that. Everybody doesn't have to do that. But I, just like y'all folks, you know you. And you know what you're weak for. And Brother Fish had just finished telling you, when I started listening to those songs now, with a renewed mind, I hear stuff I never heard. Yeah. When I looked at the album jacket, y'all know Ohio Players?
I may have seen it one time or two.
But I'm sitting here this night that the Lord is doing all these things in my mind, and I said, okay, Lord, I'll make a deal with you. If I can go through the album and not see anything bad, can I keep that album? Sure, I'll keep that album. So I go through, I open up. First, you can't get past the jacket on many of them.
Yeah, you know, Ohio Players, this is to be straight up. Yeah. Ohio Players, man, my mom wouldn't let me look at a Ohio Player album until I was 18 years old. I'll tell you that right now. Say, baby, you're 13, put the album away.
Ohio Players, Jimmy Cliff, I'm sitting there, and he's in the mirror. He's smoking his giant spiff, and in the mirror is something I can't describe.
What's a spiff, Pastor?
It's one of those things. Well, now they're selling it legally in Colorado, but back then, is it expedient, is it efficacy involved, is it morally right?
Yeah.
But I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden he opens my eyes to things that are there, and I'm looking at the words, and I go through and I see one good song, two good song, three good song, and I get to number four, is Kill Your Mama, Beat Your Daddy.
It really is.
Because the devil will give you a whole lot of stuff you like that means nothing just to get one thing.
You're right. Hey, can I ask you a question?
What?
Is Luther Vandross okay?
Oh, come on.
There's a whole lot of children today because of Luther Vandross.
You can listen to Luther Vandross. He's on my list. He's number one.
Pastor, can I listen to Luther, please? Because you know I can go.
Nothing be wrong with him.
How about them Cowboys?
Oh, I can't. I'm just asking about. I'm glad you shared that for another reason. The reason why I'm glad you shared that because you're a normal person like everybody else. Unfortunately, a lot of times people think pastors are, don't get me wrong, not saying, you know, God calls you, that's a calling, that is a giftedness to pastor, to shepherd, to preach, etc. But they normal people like us. So Ed, tell them how normal you might be in your life.
Well, for
because I know you live the straight and narrow. I know you've never done no wrong. See, you don't have time on this radio show to tell y'all bad things I've done. But go ahead.
I'm from Philadelphia, and so this idea of evangelizing somebody, walking up to somebody and saying howdy, is anathema to me. That's nonsense. You walk up to somebody talking about howdy, they'll shoot you.
Ooh, you ain't off of Jersey, so you know I know.
25th and Diamond, North Philadelphia,
where
gangs were strong. So this whole idea of evangelism took me years, and is still taking time as I learn and grow. But I started with prayer.
Amen.
Praying, Lord, change me. Change me from where I am to where I want to be. And that in itself took years. Then I started noticing, because I basically didn't like people. I was suspicious of them. Most of them I hated. Some of them I enjoyed. But it was just, I couldn't get past the anguish of approaching people.
And understand. At this time now, just like myself, when I had these, he was saved.
Oh, yeah.
There was no doubt about it. I mean,
right.
The brother was saved. But we weren't maturing. Go ahead.
Right. Yeah, and I wasn't mature. I'll give you just one quick illustration.
Please.
Pastor Will, in his inimical way, wanted to go up to a gang of folks in Arlington on a basketball court and said, hey, let's evangelize them. And I said, okay.
LeBron James.
So I looked at him. Now, even the girls that were in this group looked like they were gangbangers. But he's smiling, and he's running up. And so I said, okay, Pastor, look. You go ahead. Let me stay back. In the event that something goes wrong, I can get the police and I can tell the story. And he just went up there and they accepted him. I mean, I was shocked. The looks on their faces changed. And so I joined them, of course, and began to evangelize myself because I knew it was a comfortable environment. But generally, you first of all, if you hate people like I do, or hated people when back then, that was years ago. I'm totally different now. But you first have to begin to notice them. And you notice try to notice something about them that you can like. And then if you can find that, then you greet them. And then you compliment them on what you saw that you like. Then you do your witnessing and your evangelism.
I'm so glad you said that. So let's throw the theology at that right now. I'm so glad you said it. We all quote Matthew 28:19 and 20.
Yeah.
We talk about the word go, and go is very important. We know it as a verb.
Go ye therefore,
you know,
all that. Yeah.
But the theology of what he is saying is very simple. The Bible says make disciples. What does it mean by that? You notice it does not say evangelize, but it does say it in another way, and I'm going to tell you about that in a second. But it says make disciples.
Amen.
What does that mean? Start developing relationships with people quickly. One thing pastor does well, I don't know how he does it. This brother can walk up to a person in 2 minutes, they think they've known him for 20 years. He can develop a very quick relationship with a person, but he's going to ask them, do you know the Lord? The Bible says find common ground.
Yeah.
Develop a relationship, and when you do, have an evangelistic bottom.
Right.
In other words, in my process of letting you know who I am and who you are, I'm going to ask you, do you know the Lord?
Yeah.
So we need to understand, which, and Pastor, I'm going to throw it back to you in just a second, because one of the things you say in your sphere of influence, in other words, people that you know, whether it be in the store,
amen,
people at your
amen
job, people
amen
in your sphere of influence, guess what God's going to hold us accountable for when we go to heaven? He's going to say, I gave you these 8 friends, and you around them all the time. You hang out with them. Yeah. You go to the games with them. He's going to say, did you ask, do they know the Lord?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Then he transitioned to Acts 1:8, and he says that, but the way you truly evangelize, be my witness.
Yeah.
So in your group, do they know you even know the Lord?
Yeah.
And when you do, take an opportunity. Don't guess with it, Pastor. You're great at that. You're one of the best I've ever seen. Very candid. You're great at saying, I do not want a time to pass me that somebody don't know the Lord. Speak on that, Pastor. What, okay, what encouraged you? What made you do that? Or what fired you up to do that?
Two major things. Second greatest command. Love your neighbor like yourself.
Love.
I love me. I love me some me. Mm. Have my whole life. To a fault. You hear me? So if I could just downplay a little bit of me and think about somebody else. And if I really believe that the Bible says they're going to hell. And if I really believe that, I can't keep my mouth shut. I can't. I'll find something to say to them because I really, really believe what the Bible says. I believe I was on my way to hell.
Amen.
And somebody loved me enough to tell
amen
me about it. Brother Gutterman, when you get to, he'll be on our next program.
Yeah.
Brother Dr. Jeff Gutterman, he was raised as an Orthodox Jew. He says this quite frequently. He says, when it comes to evangelizing to a Jewish person, he said, I'd rather you, how's he put it, love me into heaven. Let's see. Hey, love me enough that you'll tell me about heaven and don't hate me into hell. That's something like that. I can't remember. But yeah, he's
right.
But he's like, he goes, people back off. They back off on people and they back off because we're scared. But okay, love your neighbor like yourself and then have intentional evangelism. When you were out clubbing, I mean, years ago.
I never went to a club. I don't know what that means. You mean club soda?
Well, yeah, you know, but
maybe that wouldn't be the truth.
When
guys,
you saw that one, my wife, yeah, where she at? When I saw that girl, I purposed in my heart to find something.
Hey, just remember, when she walked out,
she
can still hear the radio.
Well, I'm talking about her.
Right.
About her.
Oh, okay, making sure you're all right, man. I ain't trying it.
This is just one of those little tips for the young ladies out there. It's a tip from your Pastor Will. Understand, you don't have to run down a man. You don't have to run down. You don't have to run down a man. Because if there's anything a man wants, he will get it.
That's right.
If he want a new motorcycle, he'll find a way. If he want a new car, he'll find a way. If he want you, he'll find a way. You don't have to run him down. So that's just by the side.
And let me add to that, Pastor.
Yeah.
All the precious things in life are hard to get. Diamonds, rubies, whatever, gold. All the precious things are hard to get. And if you think of yourself as precious,
amen,
let yourself be hard to get.
Now, we're going to take another break in just a second, but I want to tell you this. I think you're hearing the foundation of what we're saying. Let me tell you what they're really saying. That Good Shepherd, and I'm going to get you to get your telling where they're at and all that. But what Good Shepherd has been for the community and would like to do for you if you need help is they want to be the church that is equipping people for change, in other words, evangelism and discipleship. So if you're looking for a church that's a great church to go to, they will help mature you and get you ready. But understand, you come to that church, you got to work. In other words, he's going to teach you how to share your faith. if you're at another church and you want to be trained well of how to grow and how to share your faith and how to start discipleship, they all also can equip you to change.
Amen.
They're willing to be able to do that. So tell them where Good Shepherd, before we take this break, tell them where you're at, how to reach you, Ed or Pastor, one or the other. Please share that with
us. Okay, we're here. This is Listen for the Joy. This is a listener-supported ministry of Good Shepherd Baptist Church.
Good Shepherd.
We're at 1880 Mayfield Road, Grand Prairie, Texas. You can find us online at www.goodshepherdbaptistgp.com. The number is 972-262-1111. Listen for the joy.
And you can hook up with us on Facebook. Facebook, what's that? Click on to Facebook and let us know if you like what we're doing. You can find us there.
Hey, we are back. Thank you for listening to that song again. Matter of fact, I think it's going to make top 10 real soon. In Akron, you know where LeBron James is at. But I don't know about here in Dallas. But that's a great song. And it really has some great words. And it talks about overall how we need to support not only everybody, Jews, Gentiles, etc. Also, we're going to listen to the joy. Guys, we're glad to have you back. And I got to tell you, I want to give another plug to these guys. You know, a lot of people speak well. A lot of people talk well. It's funny. I work with a group of ministers over at where I go. I got to plug this one time. Sorry, Pastor Oakland Bible Fellowship. I've been there for 32 years. We work with a group of pastors, and I told them as we were developing sermons, do you know one of the least things you may do is preach? And they looked at me really weird. I said, here's what I mean. Not that preaching isn't a gift. Same thing, Pastor Will. Yeah. Pastor Ed, not that preaching isn't a gift. But unless they see you serve well, If they don't see you serve well, you can preach every sermon. Everybody give you amen by Monday. They down the street. When they see you serve well and know you're preaching and you're giftedness, now the sermon has more weight. Even though the Holy Spirit does the work, and now it has more weight. That's what I admire about you guys, about your wife, and about your whole. We always call Pastor Will and his wife the super couple, by the way. But what we admire about the church, admire about your family, admire about your door, admire about your family, admire about everyone else, is that not only do they talk about the Lord and say, "I want to do the work," they live in our lives. And that's what we're looking for. If I'm going to follow someone, Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. We all follow Christ.
Amen.
But he gives you a dynamic there that there are people that you can see exemplify Christ that can help me and encourage me to know how to do that in my life. And I value what you guys do, value what y'all do as a family. But tell me more. You talked about, before we go any further, show me how you can get in contact with Good Shepherd again and kind of that, a little bit about that. And I want to talk a little bit more about evangelism.
Okay. First of all, we're live on Facebook right now, and it's Listen for the Joy. Go live on Facebook, and you can hear us. But we're Good Shepherd Baptist Church. We're located at 1880 Mayfield Road in Grand Prairie, Texas. You can find us online at www.goodshepherdbaptistgp.com. The GP is for Grand Prairie. So listen for the joy and establish the joy in your own lives so others might hear it in you.
There's a foundational song.
You said foundational song?
Foundational song.
Okay.
And how do I? Where did we get the name Listen for the Joy?
Where did you get the name from?
Actually, in Psalm 51, 51:8. The psalmist. Oh, the psalmist in Psalm 51:8. The psalmist is crying out to God.
Psalm 51.
He said, "Make me to hear the joy and gladness." He said, "Make me." So what that's telling you is the joy. I'm saying that to everybody here. The joy and the gladness is already out here. This is a wonderful place. This is a wonderful world. But he couldn't hear it because he was so deep and so down in depression. And he said, "Make me."
Make me.
So that's what we're here for. That's what evangelism is about. That's what Good Shepherd is about. We want you to hear and feel the gladness.
Great, great verse, by the way. There's a great song, by the way, that comes out that's called Give Me a Clean Heart. You know, give me a clean heart. There's a great, because we know that David, and this is, everybody say, why is David? This is great, great segue. Why is David a man after God's own heart? It's not that he didn't mess up. In other words,
amen.
I might have messed up a little more than David every now and then. But he says that when he was called to the carpet, God revealed to him it is a sin. Yeah. He says, not only did I sin against man, I sin against you. Amen. Psalm 51 is so phenomenal. And think about it. Even through his sin came out joy.
Came the joy.
Yeah. Came the joy.
He says,
create in me a new and clean heart. And even after that came out joy. Yeah. And you're exactly right. So when you're saying listen for the joy, I love it because it's a great segue. It is a great segue to... Even when we go through things, you know, Christmas time, New Year's is a tough time for most people because they're very depressed and have loved ones they've lost and have a tough time. But even through that, there can be joy.
Always, brother. When you got Jesus, you got joy.
Amen. When you got Jesus, you got joy. And that's our responsibility. Our responsibility is to be on fire for the Lord. Understand it was a gift. Acts 1:3, I'm going to say this lastly, I don't want to segue back to you, pastors. Acts 1:3 says, I give you convincing proof. The Holy Spirit's responsibility, John 14, 26, 27, to bring back to remembrance. Guess what he's bringing back to remembrance? The proof and evidence that even though I was a knucklehead in the previous life, Lord brought me from that.
Amen.
He's got to remember that sometime, because sometimes we get too lazy, don't we?
Amen. Yes,
but when he remembers what he did for me, why can't he do it for others? Regift that. We got to do that. But Pastor, tell me, you mentioned in the beginning of the show, you said to me, Pastor, you said to me, not only do we need to learn how to evangelize, not only do we know to know the process of doing it, not only do we got to get past our fear of doing it, you said, but to the Jews first. What do you mean by that?
Jesus came in the flesh as a Jew. Jesus came to the Jews. Jesus took 12 Jewish men to write the scriptures. The foundation of the whole Bible is about God and his covenant with the Jews. He made a promise to Abraham and to his seed. He told Abraham, I'm going to make a great nation of you. And it's all about, and it goes, the whole world will be blessed through the Jews. So when people look at me kind of sideways when I say, well, the gospel is to the Jew first, understand that Jesus took 12 Jewish men and he turned the world upside down. And if Romans 11:11 says to us that the best thing that happened to us was the Jews stumbling, and he says, man, can you imagine how the entire world is going to be blessed when they get, he goes, it's like one coming back from the dead. And
The thing that I look at is when you look at the numbers, the Jews just don't make up the numbers.
It don't add
so
up.
How, I mean, they're like 0.02 of the entire population. How are they going to, how is evangelizing to them going to reap any benefit to Christians? You know what I mean? In other words, from a practical standpoint, it seems like you'd much rather evangelize Muslims, which like 1.6 billion of them. To me, it seems like the Muslims would be the better option. How do you explain that?
Because it's supernatural. That's where the Baptist shot. Is that like an un-Baptist word?
Not at all.
It's supernatural. It's God made a covenant, and God said, he says to the world, he says, I will bless those who bless thee, and I will curse him who curses thee. And he's talking about his chosen people, the Jews. And he makes no bones about it. He says, when I come back, I'm coming back for them. And I'm not coming back until they say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He doesn't say that about any other people group. No other, not that we're not important, but if he doesn't keep his word to them, how can I trust him? And that's what we want people to understand. People get bent out of shape. Oh, you trying to say the Jews are better? I'm not. God even says they were nothing. He said if I had taken a great nation and made them greater, you would have said, well, that's no big deal. He said, but if I took somebody who was nobody.
Knucklehead.
He said, hadn't even been swallowed yet. And he goes, I took them and I said, surely, if I take them and make them a great nation, y'all say, he's the one true and living God.
Amen.
I showed a young man the other day, and I challenged the congregation. I challenge you folks out there. Pull up a map and look at the nation of Israel. And understand, the nation of Israel is about the size of the state of Rhode Island. You can fly across the middle in 3 minutes in a jet. 3 minutes. But yet and still, the Bible says in the last day, there will be a cup of trembling. That's a pain for the whole world. And you can't pick up a newspaper without reading about somebody hating on Israel and telling Israel, you know, if you just give up 2 more miles of land, the world will be happy. You ain't no bigger than Rhode Island.
You ain't got no land to give up, Tommy.
Most people, especially Christians, we don't know that. Lord bless me to be able to. I've been wanting to get to this. I got to tell y'all this. I worked construction for 35 years, and there was a gentleman that I worked for about 25 of that 35 years. And again, supernatural. When I retired a year ago, he called my wife and I to the side, and I want to say hi to him and his wife because I know they're listening. And he called us up to the side. He said, hey, Will, I want to do something nice for you. He's a strong Christian man, godly man. We discussed everything. He's a godly man. He said, I want to send you and your wife to Israel. And I said, that's nice. Can I drive? Because your brother Will don't like to fly. And he said, we're going to cover you. Just take enough money for your souvenirs. Wow, man, that was just incredible. It's incredible. But God wanted me to go there.
Can you give me the name of that brother after? Because I'm certainly trying to get to Israel, man.
I purposely kept his name off of this.
Nah, I'm just kidding, man.
But all this took place leading up to this program. I'm thoroughly convinced. Because this program, and I'm definitely not going to let Fridge off the hook, because this brother, supernaturally. So we go, I'll go back, put a pin in that one. We go to Israel. And I did have a little segment I called Broke Down in Boston. My wife and I were, our plane was booked after everybody else's was booked. We ended up going, everybody else went on Lufthansa airline. We ended up flying on El Al airline, which is owned by the Israeli government. That's the Israeli airline. So my wife and I, we get on this plane. This plane is loaded. We're the only Gentiles on there. And most likely we're the only African Americans. We're probably the only Gentiles on there. And so we're like, okay, Lord, what's going on? So we go, we sit down, we fly from Dallas to Boston, we get to Boston, and we're ready to fly out to Israel that night, around 10 o'clock or something. And we sit and we watch, and everybody watches we watch all these planes pull off. And so we're sitting there, I'm wondering, we're supposed to be leaving at 10, it's like a quarter to 11, what's going on here? And all of a sudden, there's no airplanes, and I see
I see a fire truck pull up. And so when the fire truck pulls up, I'm like, this is not good because our plane is the only plane there. Long story fairly short, the plane is delayed for 2 days. 2 days. In 2018, I got to shrink this. 2 days. I said, when are we leaving? They said, when we fix this plane. That didn't instill a lot of confidence in me. So while we're there, Lord had us meet 8 Israeli Jewish people who we had dinner with. They were wonderful. We laughed. We joked. We had a good time. Bottom line is, God gave me the opportunity to witness to 8 Israeli Jews.
Amen.
This was not purpose. This was just something that supernatural, y'all. And then God, he just put the burden on me that much more. He goes, these are my children. Look at them. This group that we happen to be with, all of them were, none of them were hurting for money. They all had great family lives. But there's no joy.
Yeah.
Because money can't get you joy, y'all. And I'm here to say this to my brothers and sisters here in Christ, here in Dallas and Fort Worth and wherever. You know, understand, while you're thinking if I just had a little bit more money, those folks are saying if I just had some more joy. So, bottom line, that was something that God used to bring me to this point.
Pastor, first of all, great testimony. Awesome. Like I said, you can't talk to Pastor Wolf for 5 seconds. He ain't going to talk about the Lord. He don't care who you are. You can be, like you mentioned earlier, Muslim. He don't care if you're Jews. He don't care if you're atheist. He don't care, because he knows that, as we know, we will be held accountable for our relationships and our contacts in heaven. We know that. But I want to say this to you, to kind of wrap that part up of what you're saying. First of all, phenomenal trip. But what Pastor Wolf said earlier is you don't have to get on a plane to fly to Israel.
No.
In your normal sphere of people, first of all, let's set our foundation. Number one, we want to equip you to be able to evangelize and develop relationships. You can disciple and evangelize. We're going to tie that in together. In that, your sphere of influence, people that are around you, you've got to know how to do that anyway. What he's saying, which is a great point, even in that small area where you're at, when you go to the bank and you go to the grocery store, you go to the mall, etc., there are people that you need to evangelize of all types, but then the Lord adds some more. He says, and when the Jews get converted,
amen,
he says there's even a special blessing involved in that too. So we want to equip you how to do it in general. But while you're there, know how to handle the Jews too. So to amen. The Jews. As a matter of fact, the Bible says to the Jews first.
Amen.
So we want to be able to do that, set up a tone for you to be able to do that. But at the basic fundamental foundation is, if you know the Lord, and you know that he gave you convincing proof that he changed your life, why would you not want to have your friends, relatives, neighbors, and people you know not have their lives changed also? So, guys, tell them right now, tell them again about Good Shepherd, where they're at, locations, and those things. And then we're going to start working on what we call the wrap-up and get this going.
So Good Shepherd Baptist Church is in Grand Prairie, Texas. It's at 1880 Mayfield Road. Sunday school starts at 9:15. Worship service is at 10:45. I mentioned 9:15 for Sunday school because that's where we begin the process of teaching you how to evangelize. We begin the process of teaching you what it means to witness to others. You don't have the joy because you aren't exercising the things that God has given you to do. You're not joyful, therefore you can't share joy. I might add also, too, that if you are listening to this and you're not saved, you need to get saved. You need to, first of all, accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, because that's when the joy begins. Everything that you're going through right now, there's some happiness, there's some lows, there's some highs, but if you want a consistent joy in your life, it takes Jesus Christ. Amen. There's no other way. Yes. So we're Good Shepherd Baptist Church. Right now you can listen to us live on Facebook. If you're listening there, good. But also we have a Christian education ministry that you can be a part of, and we'd love to have you come. Even if you're part of another church, you can come and learn from us and go back home to your home church.
First of all, guys, that's great. So again, with Good Shepherd, our main thing is we want to reset what we call the show. We want to tell you why that the show is on air now, what are we trying to achieve, and go from there. We'll reset it from that standpoint. The main thing we want you to understand is this is, if heaven stops when one person gets saved, heaven shouts when one person gets saved, angels have a party when one person gets saved. How can we not have that same excitement here on earth?
Amen.
How could we not have it when God himself has it?
We have to purpose in our heart. I'm going to start telling people, first thing in the morning when you get up, get yourself a daily dose of joy. Wake up in the morning with some joy in your heart. Get some laughter, some joy. People, so many married people, they don't laugh anymore. And when you don't laugh anymore, you can't smile anymore. So, so joy is very, very important to our, it's like medicine. That's what the Bible says. It's like medicine to your bones.
So, then why the show? Because you want to do what? What do you want to tell the people? What do you want to teach them?
Because we want that God's people could have, you already have the salvation, but do you have the joy of salvation? Because the Bible speaks of the joy of salvation. So you can have the salvation and be walking on, ooh, woe is me. But do you have the joy of salvation? And when you do, will you love your neighbor enough? If you really believe what the Bible says, will you love your neighbor enough to take his hard looks, to take his bad words, to tell him about Jesus? And
amen.
Your neighbor is whoever is in your sphere that God brings into your path.
And this show?
The purpose of it can be succinctly wrapped up, encouraging God's children to reach God's chosen.
And the show is going to help you with the tenets and the mechanism to be able to help you put not only get you on fire to do it, but help you give you a mechanism
right.
of how
give
to do it.
Give you the tools.
In other words, the process and the tools of how to do it.
The tools and the techniques.
Yeah. And Good Shepherd's going to help you. You know why Good Shepherd's going to help you? Guys, I need to get in contact. Give the phone number. Just give me the phone number one more time right now.
972-262-1111.
Do it one more time.
972-262-1111.
And the website.
And the website is goodshepherdbaptistgp.com.
If you want to know more, if you want to start your journey of saying, I know I've been wanting to evangelize, but I'm either too scared to do it. I know I've been wanting to evangelize, create disciple, but I just don't know what to say. These men are here to help equip you. Good Shepherd Baptist Church is designed and helped equip people. Whether you go to their church or don't go to your church, they want to be a hub.
Right. Doesn't mean
because you know why? When you run into these two brothers right here, I'm going to tell you something. When you run into the two brothers here and you see the joy with these two brothers right here, I promise you, you're going to want to evangelize after that. You want to tell somebody. You know, it's like a good deal to get at a restaurant or somewhere else. You want to tell somebody
amen.
What great of a deal that you
amen.
Got. Guys, once again, give the address of Good Shepherd and the website, and we're going to be out
the
here.
Address
give
the address of Good Shepherd is 1880 Mayfield Road in Grand Prairie, Texas. The website is goodshepherdbaptistgp.com.
And the phone number is?
And the phone number is 972-262-1111.
Last thing I want to give you today is when God touches your heart, it's like a fire shut up inside your bones. That's what Jeremiah said. I cannot not tell somebody about Jesus.
Amen.
You have been listening to Listen for the Joy with Pastor Will E. Milbury. For more information about this ministry, visit GoodShepherdBaptistGP.com. That's GoodShepherdBaptistGP.com. Join us every first and third Saturdays at 1 p.m. for Listen for the Joy on Heaven 97 KHVN.